Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening around the world. This is Jacob Paulson from the 12 Books Group, live here today on our podcast with Francis Wade. Francis is the author of Bill's Imperfect Time Management Adventure, a book published earlier this year in February. Really excited to talk to Francis today and learn a little bit more about the secret to time management and kind of how this book came to be and what we can learn from it. Francis, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jacob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Francis, just to kind of get us kicked off, can you give us, you know, a 60-second or 2-minute kind of overview of why you wrote the book and then kind of what the premise is?
Sure. The idea behind the book is that there is a very different and new way to think about improving your productivity and time management skills. And the book is written as a business fable, a story, which outlines the adventure of a guy named Bill, threatened to losing his job. His boss tells him that if he doesn't improve his productivity, he's going to get fired. And the whole book is about how he saves himself from destruction by improving his time management skills. And during the book, he goes through a series of, I guess, semi-disasters as he learns a method of getting better that actually works for him and works for everyone else around him.
Well, tell me, I mean, so it kind of sounds like, in a way, the book outlines, you know, different methodologies, you know, popular, you know, methodologies out there for time management, and maybe highlights some of the, you know, the goods and the bads. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, well, he finds his own. You see, he comes up against a problem that many people have, which is that when they've read a book or a time management or taken a time management program, they're left at the end of the book and the program with 15 new habits to implement starting tomorrow. And as you can probably guess, most people fail because it's just too hard to implement 50, 60, 17 brand new habits all at once. And all the books that I've read and all the books that are programs that I've discovered and after doing my own research, they all pretty much end the same way, which is, good luck. You're on your own, buddy.
yeah.
And what had me deeper than just that was I moved back to Jamaica from living in Florida in 2005. And when I moved here, I discovered that I actually needed a different way of managing my time because life here is just very different. It's way more hectic and unreliable and way more ups and downs, a lot more things you just can't rely on, a lot more things break each day. So I found that I needed a new way to manage my time, and I went looking for a book that I thought might exist called How Do You Manage Your Time When You're in a Developing Country? And I didn't find any such thing. Matter of fact, all I found was, here's what you do, here's 50 new habits, just go and implement them. And I, you know, at first I got annoyed, and then I started writing a blog, and then a couple years later, developed a course. And then this year I published.
Francis, tell me a little bit more about your background, as it relates to this topic. You mentioned, you know, that you were reading books. You were kind of on this journey yourself. Have you talked to other people who have been able to identify with this same problem you have?
Sure. So all the way back, my 2 degrees are from Cornell University, and I studied industrial engineering and operations research, which is pretty much the closest you can actually get to time management. I taught time management programs throughout the years, and before I moved back to Jamaica, I actually used to lead a very pretty popular program. It had the same problem that I mentioned, though, which is that it delivered you to the point where you had to develop, you had to implement 50 brand new habits all at once. And it had the same results. It wasn't very effective. And when I came back to Jamaica and had the problem that I described before, I had to go do a lot of research. So I basically went back to the academic papers, and thank goodness for the internet, which allows you to see a lot of the latest research. A lot of the most recent research, particularly around adult learning, essentially says that 50 new habits all at once is a recipe for failure, and that instead you've got to take a different approach. So in coming up with the ideas in the book, what I did was I used the latest research in time management, but I also use a lot of the latest research in, and this is going to sound like a funky word, andragogy, which is basically the opposite of pedagogy. Pedagogy is how do you teach kids. Andragogy is how do you teach adults. And the way you teach adults is actually very different because they come to the book or the program with habits and practices that they are already using and that are already successful. So instead of trying to pretend that they don't know anything, you actually have to build on what they already do and what they already have that's working.
So Francis, what I'm learning is that the main premise here is that there's not one universal system that works for everybody, that ultimately it's about a very, you know, unique, personally tailored approach to help somebody get better at time management.
Exactly. And in the book, Bill has this, you know, this sort of awful experience with a productivity Nazi named Vernon, where Vernon, who has read a book and done a program, attempts to ram his approach down Bill's throat, essentially. Tries to get everybody to follow the approach that he's found, that he says is the right one. And so as Bill kind of tries to follow, it doesn't work. And eventually, you know, says, you know what, I have to try and find something that works for me. Because the fact is, when you're an adult, as you and I are, we've been practicing a self-created way of managing our time for years, even decades. And when we take a program or pick up a book or even talk to someone who says that they have the answer, the fact is we already have a lot of the answer for ourselves. So for us to actually think about improving, which everyone needs to do because life is changing so much, the demands on our time are increasing, the technology is bringing these demands to our attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanks to mobile technology. So much is changing that the approach that you and I taught ourselves back when we were teens or in our early 20s, for our parents, they could teach themselves how to manage their time once and it would last until retirement. You and I don't have that luxury. We need to reinvent and bring in new technology and bring in new habits to the way that we manage our time because our lives are changing so much more quickly. And we deal with, according to the statistics, we deal with more information in a day than our grandparents saw in a month. So we need a very different approach. So, and then, as you say, all of us need our individual approach. So the best way to get to that solution is to start with what we're already doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Francis, tell me, you know, thinking about, you did in the word habits, you know, these habits on which someone builds a time management program or platform or system. You know, are there some of these, you know, despite, you know, needing a tailored approach, are there some of these that are kind of universal? I mean, there's no real way to be effective unless you employ some of these?
Yeah, well, what my research showed is that when you and I develop this sort of self-created system, which we need to develop to get through high school and college, because we're not taught, we end up not, let's say, creating systems that are a bit imbalanced. And they're imbalanced in different ways because typically most of us don't attend a course that teaches us the fundamentals. But there are universals. In my research, I discovered seven universal ways of dealing with what are called time demands. So let me get a little scientific for just a minute. A time demand is an individual commitment to complete an action in the future. So time demands are always created by us. They're psychological creations. You can't touch them, of course. But they have semi-physical properties because when the number of time demands grows to be too large, we start suffering. We start feeling a burden. We start getting stressed and we start losing sleep. And we start having the feeling of not being controlled if we're not able to manage the number that we need to do to live our lives well. So it turns out that every human being who works for a living must find a way to deal with time demands. And we do find a way. which is the reason why everyone can go to work and or everyone who's functioning can go to work, get a salary, have a mortgage, have kids, lead a regular life and have it actually. What happens to most people though, especially nowadays, is that something changes, like they get married, or they get promoted, or they have kids. And instead of one, I have a friend who had twins the other day, and it came as a bit of a surprise. His life turned upside down, as you could imagine. All of a sudden, he went from
Yeah,
no kids
wow.
to kids. He had to learn how to be a dad with two kids. So
Is
these
that
changes,
tough?
all of a sudden, we can't handle them. And what we should be able to do, which is what the book is all about, is to examine the practices that we've been using for all this time, figure out where the gaps are, figure out what our new sort of goal or new target, what level of proficiency do we want to get to? Do we want to become someone who is world class? Could take several years. Do we want to be just changed enough so that we can get by in our current job? Or do we want to account for the fact that there are more kids coming and there's a promotion coming and there's bigger life changes coming? And do we want somewhere in the middle where it's not quite world class, but it's way above what we're currently functioning at? So the big decisions that some of the big decisions that we have to make is, what's our current system giving us and not giving us? What's our target level of skill? And then how do we close the gap?
It's interesting to think about because I've just never heard of a personally tailored approach. Every blog post I read, every book that's out there kind of says, "Hey, this is the way you do it, and do it like this." And conceptually, it's kind of crazy to think about. It sounds logical that, well, duh, not everybody can do it the same way, but it's never occurred to me before because I've never heard that message before. Why do you think that is?
If you read the, well, so there, there's, here's what will happen. If you ask someone on your show who's written a book, a traditional book, and you ask them why, what they'll say is, oh, I say in my book that you can't follow this perfectly. No one, that everyone should do it their own way. This is just a set of guidelines. But what they don't tell you, this is like giving someone a recipe, right? For making pancakes. Oh yeah, you can change the recipe if you want, but what they don't tell you is how to change the recipe. So they all tell you that no one can copy them and do exactly what they do because they wrote the book based on their personal experience. So their book is based on a sample of one. This is what I do. Copy me. That's essentially what the book says. So they know that not everybody can copy them because we are human beings and we don't learn that way. They know that people take bits and pieces and they don't follow the entire thing. However, what they don't do is tell people if and when you deviate from my perfect formula, which works perfectly for me, here's how you deviate. So it's like making pancakes. Someone gives you a recipe for pancakes and they say, oh, you don't need the recipe. You can change it up if you want. You should be very suspicious because if you don't know how to cook, you won't know that, for example, the. And it's a long time since I made pancakes, so someone will probably have to.
Sure, no, I mean, if you increase flour, you got to increase that, or less eggs means
Exactly.
more of
Baking
that, or whatever,
powder,
right?
baking soda. Do you double this or do you cut this by half? So someone who doesn't know how to cook will eventually fail if once they start to vary the recipe because they don't know how to cook. So in the book, what I've tried to do is to give people the idea that you can teach yourself how to upgrade your time management skills over and over and over and over again. You can use the books that are out there. You can use the programs. You can use the tips on the internet. You can use all the life hacking websites. You can use all of them. But you need to use them in a particular way so that you incorporate the idea into your system. You critically evaluate it and then you say, okay, here's how the system can help me to get to the level I want to get to. Sounds like really like common sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
It's that. It's just you.
You know, what about this idea? You know, I've read books that claim to take more of a principle-centered approach, and I guess by that, I think some authors want us to believe, and I've certainly subscribed to this idea in the past, that that it's about principles that you know, in theory, can mold for everybody, that you know, can change over time based on technology, you know, more of this, you know, instead of a practical, you know, specific method, you know, get a file, folder out, and write stuff in it. I've seen some gurus that are out there teaching a more of a principle, like, well, you need to mind dump. You need to make sure the stuff in your head gets out somewhere. You know, so some people out there are teaching these principles instead of actual methodologies. Do you think that has some sound grounding?
Oh, absolutely. The principles, the principles, ones I've heard anyway, including the one that you just mentioned, are by and large correct, and they're based, they've been around for a long time, and they're based in the research, they're based in science. So there's no question. For example, the principle of focusing on one thing at a time versus multitasking. Absolutely, very, very, very important. However, most people have a difficult time translating principle into personal action. What they try to do is they try to copy someone else's action. So, oh, the way he does it, the way he stops multitasking is he puts on a set of headphones, he turns off Twitter and Facebook, he closes down his browser, he focuses on just the task that's in front of him, he turns off his phone, his cell phone, he locks the door, and some people even, so that they can avoid distractions, they go to Starbucks.
Right.
That's application of the principle. And what they would do is write a book that says, hey, here's how you stop multitasking and how you focus. You go to Starbucks, you get headphones, you turn everything off, you close your browser, and they give a very, very detailed prescription. They write a book. And then someone buys the book, you and I buy the book, and we say, aha, the answer is at Starbucks. we try to follow
right.
The exact recipe that the person has laid out, because we don't know how to use the principle, or in other words, we don't know how to cook. When we know how to cook or to bake, then we can come up with our own pancakes. We can find our own way of being of avoiding distractions. We can find our own way to single task, and then we can find our own way of not carrying around stuff in our head that works for us, given our unique job or unique culture or unique circumstances or age and all the other factors that make us special.
Right. Now that makes sense. You essentially said the same thing twice, but it really sunk home with me this time. I mean, what you're really saying is that, you know, understanding how to cook is understanding the principles that govern time management. Well, you know, the example you gave is the idea of, you know, prioritizing and not multitasking and doing the most important thing. That's a principle. Unfortunately, it seems like mostly what we're being taught are the applications of principles, and that's where the failure comes.
Right. We need like a whole bunch of tools that would help us to understand what we're already doing better.
Right. Right.
When you can
that completely hits home with me.
Yeah, because then you can see. Oh, okay, I'm not doing this the way I could. I'm not doing that, but it comes from some reflection, some diagnostics. It comes from asking yourself some really smart questions, and it comes from not trying to just copy someone else, which is works for a few people. A handful of people can copy someone else. You know, go to Starbucks and get the headphones, and we don't
sure.
even have Starbucks. Because I couldn't even do it.
So you're out. Yeah, you'll never be able to prioritize again. That's right. So tell me, Francis, why the parable? Why did you write a book, you know, instead of laying out, you know, the content, why tell a story?
Well, this came from my own experience. I spent 4.5 years at Cornell getting a couple of degrees in industrial engineering, operations research. And it wasn't until I worked for AT&T for 5 years, and during my first month there, I picked up a book called The Goal by Eli Goldratt. Are you familiar with it?
No.
it's a business fable, and it's all about manufacturing, and it's very popular nowadays. It's very popular among business school students and engineers who specialize in manufacturing. But back then, it was this crazy novel that this guy wrote about. And anyway, I sat down and I read the book just as soon as I joined AT&T. I learned more from that one book than I did sitting in 10 classes on manufacturing, let's say. That's 30, 40 credits, somewhere in there. And the reason was that he told the story in the form of a book. He told the story in the form of a fable. He didn't try to lay out a bunch of abstract principles, which people have a very difficult time understanding, because, you know, theories are well and good, and principles are fine. So I decided, okay, when I write my first book, I'm going to make it so accessible that anyone could pick it up, read it, and say, oh yeah, I kind of get it. My hope is that they then read my next book, which is not yet written.
My That's next right. book.
Principles, recipes. It's going to be layout an approach that is really a teaching approach that I use in my current workshops. So it's going to be way more traditional how to implement the ideas that you put in the book.
Sure. Well, that sounds exciting. And Francis, before we end, I'd like to hear more about your future plans, but I'm really curious to hear a little bit more about, you know, you talked a little bit about your background and some of the influences here, but are there other, you know, do you have mentors or even specifically other authors that have been inspiring that you do feel like have helped you, you know, in your work and coming to where you are now, specific to time management or otherwise?
I can think about the recent books I've read that have really turned me on, but it's weird. They don't turn me on because they talk about time management, because they talk about other things. So I love Malcolm Gladwell. His grandparents, a couple of his grandparents were Jamaican. But that's not why I love him. I didn't even realize that until later on. But I love his book on, that talks about mastery. So any book, any of the contemporary books that talk about becoming really good at something by putting in time and effort and not trying to seek shortcuts appeals to me in a very big way. That's very, very much right now. Because becoming really good at your time management has to do with putting in time and mastering very specific skills. Even if you start with the principles, eventually you have to get to, how do I learn to manage my list in this particular way? And I recently read a book called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. And that one also struck a really strong chord. He's a professor at Georgetown, and he actually has specialized in helping kids develop great study habits. But he wrote this book, which is a little bit different than what he's written in the past. And it's all about developing your own personal where you stand out, as opposed to trying to advertise your way to greatness or following your passion, which he says eventually runs out. You don't know what you're doing. You actually need to develop very, very specific skills. So I've been enjoying his book as well. And I think maybe what I've been looking for is, recently, are books that speak to how do we humans develop the skills that we want? How do we overcome our reluctance and or inertia or laziness so that we can achieve the goals that we want? I think it applies to time management the way I think of it, because for me, it's a never-ending journey. From now until the day I die, I expect to be getting better and better. And it's not necessarily because I just like getting better, which I do. It's that life is changing so fast that the skills I have today, I'm using 2 years from now exactly the same way. Heck, I use a BlackBerry right now. So as you can imagine, I'm ready for an upgrade. I'm really wary. What's next? It's going to require some new habits, right? And I'm very carefully selecting, okay, what new habits do I want to have to develop in order to match the new smartphone that I pick up? So
Right.
I've been very interested in skill development. So those are a couple of my authors that that are my favorites.
I appreciate that. I think your work talks to that principle of ongoing education and training and self-mastery, as you put it. I think that was well put. And I think this is part of that, right? If you can't manage your time, which debatably is our most precious resource, then it makes it very difficult to master yourself and to have progress in any arena, right?
Right, makes everything else really, anything you try to do, if you're not able to manage your time, it's really, I've done marathons and I did an Ironman triathlon. People ask me, what's the toughest part? The time management, because if you can't manage your time to the preparation, you won't make it.
Yeah. That's why I haven't done any more marathons.
I
So, I appreciate the time. I think, Francis, this has been really helpful. I think I have a much clearer understanding of your book. I'm very excited to dive deeper into it now. And I would encourage group members who are listening to access the book. The title again is Bill's Imperfect Time Management Adventure. It's available on Amazon for Kindle, and I think it's a quick, relatively light read, I might add, and it's very affordable. To learn more, you could also visit Francis' website, which is http://perfect.mytimedesign.com. And you could find it very quickly with a Google search as well, and a lot of good resources and information there available on the website as well. Francis, tell us quickly, I think we're about out of time. If you can tell us, what's the best way for people to follow along with you? If they pick up the book and they enjoy it, what else can they do? I understand you have an email newsletter, or you're on Twitter. Tell us more about how they can follow along.
Yes, you can follow my tweets at FWADE. And on my website, the same perfect.mytimedesign.com, there's a whole host of new, of sorry, free resources that they could sign up to receive. Videos, podcasts, you name it. Text, there's 500 blog posts. There's a lot of information that I've developed over the years that's available without any cost. And all you need to do is to sign up for any one of my updates or newsletters or any of the resources, and they'll be immediately placed on one of my mailing lists. And all recent developments will be I broadcast them at some point to everyone on my list. So that's an easy way.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you, Francis, for your time. We're very grateful for you carving out time in your schedule to tell us more about time management and your recent book. From Denver, Colorado, this is Jacob Paulson, signing off. Until next time, have a great day.